As we continue to look at worship and worship in spirit and in truth, we've kind of changed verses a little bit today. We've been in Hebrews chapter 10 and verses 19 through 25. You remember we had some really serious questions in there with respect to worship. Is our time together going to purify our hearts? Is it going to solidify our confession, stimulate us to love and good deeds? And is it going to encourage us as the day draws near? And I think that's an important thing to think about, this encouragement that we have in the body of Christ as the day draws near. And we're going to look some at that, but really, I got to get my ducks lined up here. I'm having a little issue. There we go. So, today we're going to look at Nehemiah chapter 12. And we're going to read a little bit of a lengthy section there. It's 31 through 47. And this is going to fit in just a minute, I promise. But you remember how we talked about in worship, this worship brings this stimulation to love, is a stimulation to love God the Father, and then to love one another, and that one another would include not only those who are in the body of Christ. We want to do good to all men, but especially those in the household of faith, but also to the world around us, a world that does not know our Lord, does not know Him. And we're gonna have a love that's stimulated for our neighbor. So we're loving God, we're loving our neighbor, that being those in the body of Christ, but also those in the world around us. That love then is what stimulates us towards good deeds, the good deeds that we do in the body of Christ. And we spent a little bit of time looking at that. But the question is, how do we stimulate one another to good deeds? We do that by putting aside selfish ambition and considering others as more important than ourselves. We encourage one another. We bear one another's burdens. Remember I gave you the little bearing illustration? That's one of my favorite illustrations. I don't know if anybody else gets it out of that, but that just does it for me. We admonish one another. We seek the good of others for their benefit. We're united by His Spirit. We accept one another. We pray for one another. We praise Him together. And you just think about these songs that we sang this morning. Jesus paid it all. Here is love. All of those things that we corporately together express thanksgiving to our God, acknowledging to our God what He has done. Now, one thing that we also do when we encourage or stimulate one another to good deeds is we have to recognize that God has given within the body of Christ gifts of the Holy Spirit, and that those gifts must be employed in love to the edification of the church or the building up of the church. See, when I begin to love you and I begin to love the people around me and I begin to seek your good for God's glory, then I'm going to have to do something beyond me to be able to do that. And that's what the Holy Spirit gives us. Spiritual gifts. These are gifts of the Spirit, the Spirit Himself, but it's these fruit of the Spirit. It's the gifts of the Spirit that must be employed in service within the body of Christ. So that's kind of where we are today. We're going to look at the employment of these gifts. And I love this illustration from Nehemiah chapter 12, excuse me, verse 31 through 47. And we're going to read that now. And then we'll kind of begin to talk through this. So Nehemiah chapter 12, verse 31. Then I had the leaders of Judah come up on top of the wall, and I appointed two great choirs, the first proceeding to the right on top of the wall toward the refuse gate. Hosea and half the leaders of Judah followed them, Azariah, Ezra, and Meshulam, Judah, Benjamin, Shammai, Jeremiah, and some of the sons of the priests with trumpets, Zechariah, the son of Jonathan, the son of Shemaiah, the son of Mattaniah, the son of Micaiah, the son of Zachar, the son of Asaph, and his kinsmen, Shemaiah, Azrael, Malali, Gilali, Mai, Nathaniel, Judah, and Hananiah. Man, this is killing me today. With the musical instruments, and David, the man of God, and Ezra, the scribe, went before them. That's an important phrase right there. You remember that. Ezra, the man of God, went before them. What did he take with him? The word. The word. That's an important thing to understand. Our worship must be predicated upon God's word. He goes first, right? You may ever wonder why we have a call to worship at the beginning of service. Where does that come from? It comes from God's word. It comes from his word. All right? So that's just a little side note there. But Ezra the scribe went before them. At the fountain gate, they went directly up the steps of the city of David by the stairway on the wall above the house of David to the water gate on the east. The second choir proceeded to the left. So here's now the second choir. While I followed them with half of the people on the wall above the tower of furnaces to the broad wall and above the gate of Ephraim by the old gate, the fish gate, the tower of Hananel and the tower of the hundred as far as the sheep gate. And they stopped at the gate of the guard. Then the two choirs took their stand in the house of God. So did I and half of the officials with me. And the priests, and he's going to list those off for sake of time. I'm going to pass over those. But look at the end of 42. The singers sang with Jezariah, their leader. And on that day, they offered great sacrifices and rejoiced because God had given them great joy. There's another really important statement. Why did they rejoice? Because God gave them great joy. Even the women and children rejoiced, so that the joy of Jerusalem was heard from afar. Father, we thank you for this text today, and I thank you for each name that is written here in the permanent record, Father, of those who would seek worship for your glory. And Father, we pray, God, now that we would be the same, that our heart's desire now, our eyes fixed on Jesus, is worship. Lord, speak to us through your word. Help me. Empower the preaching of this good news by your spirit. We pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. So, here we see what I like. Now, look, there's a whole lot of stuff that goes into this section of Scripture. And actually, we're probably going to hit some of this in this Sunday school, the theology stuff that we're doing. But this is a time, and if you remember the history of all of this, the northern kingdom of Israel went into captivity in Assyria, and pretty much they just never came back out of that. The southern kingdom of Judah went to Babylon, and they were in captivity there. I remember Nebuchadnezzar and all of the Jeremiah's prophecy, they're going to be there for 70 years. And then they're going to come back at the end of that 70 years. Well, it's been the end of that time, right? And they've come back, and you had Ezra and Nehemiah are two men that were functioning kind of at the same time, a little bit difference in time, but in the same era. And their function is to help bring the people back. Right? And so they come back, and what do they find? They find the temples destroyed. They find the walls in ruins. They got to rebuild all of those things. So what we're jumping into is after we've had the rebuilding of the temple, and this is the first church service they had after that. And what I want you to see is in this, not all the specific details, but first and foremost, Ezra went first. The word of God came first. Our worship must be predicated upon the word of God. It's not an emotional, this is how I feel today, man, I'm feeling it, let's go, we got this going. It's not about that. The joy that caused them to rejoice came from the Lord. And the joy that they were experiencing was because God had been faithful to his word. Jeremiah said, you're going to be gone 70 years. And now that 70 years is up. And God has stirred up the heart of Cyrus. God has done all of these things required to bring the people back, to rebuild the temple, to rebuild the wall, all of these things. And now they are together again for the purpose of worship. I mean, think about this week. Can you think about all the stuff you've gone through this week? Think about what you don't even know is coming next week. And God has worked all of those things together for you today to be together. You see the faithfulness of our God? You see how that the Word of God drives our worship? You got a whole lot of folks today that are doing stuff in the name of worship that does not even fit with God's Word. We've spent 9 weeks now talking about worship, that it matters to God, right? Remember all of those points we made? That God cares about how He's worshiped. It's fundamentally about God. Worship is fundamentally about God, not about how you feel when you leave here. Well, the preacher didn't get me amped up today. The music was kind of flat today. Worship is fundamentally about God. It involves our whole lives, but it's fundamentally hearing and responding to God's Word. So what do you see in here? First, Ezra comes and the Word of God comes and there is great joy. You remember the first time Ezra read to them, what did they do? They wept. Man, they wept. They cried. They hadn't heard God's Word in so long. And to hear it for themselves coming from the man of God who read and spoke truth to them, and they wept. They were hungering. Did you come with a hunger today for the Word of God? Did you come to hear from the Almighty? Have you hungered and thirsted for righteousness? That's where the people were. And when Ezra stood to read the Word, the people bowed down. They cried. It's been so long. Does it feel like it's been forever since last week? Does it feel like, man, I can't wait to see my brothers and sisters? Does it feel like that? Because we need each other. And one of the main things I want you to see in Nehemiah's depiction here is look at how many people are involved. It's not a theologically deep statement. Look how many stinking people are involved in worship. And he names them off. You know why? Because every one of them is important. That's why I spent time trying to read all of those names. They're in God's Word. Is your name in the Scriptures? Some of you might go, yeah, mine is. But is your name in there in one of these instances? There's his. God said, that's important. It's important that you recognize that the body of Christ corporately is made up of the body of Christ individually. And where you are, what you bring through those doors when you come to meet with us matters. It will impact the worship today. Our hearts, are we yearning for God's Word? I don't ever get anything out of Sunday school. There's a big old glare on that thing, on that screen. His hair's messed up, that's all I can see. That's the running joke. If you didn't come to Sunday school, you need to come next week, you'll get in on the joke. His hair's messed up, whatever. The preacher, I don't ever understand what he's doing. I'm trying to take notes, and he's like all over the board. It's like a spider web in there. It doesn't look like notes. What is it that you brought this morning? What is it that you are now contributing? Because all of these people contributed. They didn't just show up. And you notice, he's calling out the jobs that some of these folks are doing. They're in choirs, or they're helping prepare, or they're doing all of this stuff. They matter. Now, think about this. This is descriptive of the return from exile of their worship. It's not necessarily prescriptive, okay? I understand that. I think there's some principles that are, but you know, we don't have to have a procession that starts out in the highway out there and comes in, you know. This is descriptive of what they were doing. But I want you to see something. Look at what they had. They had choirs That's made up of people that are singing together with leaders. They had musicians. They had scribes that were proclaiming God's word. There were priests there for sacrifice. There were Levites there for serving the temple, making sure all the pieces and parts were in the right spot. There were men. This one got me. There were men appointed over the chambers for the stores, the contributions, the first fruits, and the tithes. They took up an offering. There were all of these things that people were contributing to and participating in. Look at the diversity of all of those people. It wasn't just a bunch of religious elites doing this stuff, but they were all participating. What do we see in the church today? Y'all ever heard of the 80-20 rule? It's probably more like 90-10 now. You got 80% of the people doing 80% of the work done by 20% of the people. That's not how it's supposed to be. Each and every one of us has a purpose and a role in the body of Christ, and we should contribute in that. That's a part of worship. That's a part of worship. That's a part of you giving your body as a living and holy sacrifice. Please. A living and holy sacrifice that is acceptable to God. That's your spiritual service of worship. That's the least that you can do, is in simply doing your part in the body of Christ. Look at all of that. Choir leaders, musicians, people who are... Doesn't it sound like a church service today? We have folks who are leading in worship and leading in praise, the praise of our lips. Thank you. Pollen's beginning to get to us then. But do we see that here? What is your role? What is your part in the body of Christ here? It's going to matter, I promise you. And when you look at Paul's teaching in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 through 14, he spends a ton of time dealing with spiritual gifts and the employment of spiritual gifts within the body of Christ so that the church may be built up. And when we talk about spiritual gifts, we always go to chapter 12 through 14 because of what Paul's got there. There's Ephesians, there's other places in Scripture. But I want you to think about something. Paul begins that discourse on spiritual gifts in chapter 12 of 1 Corinthians. And right in the middle of it, you got chapter 13. What is chapter 13? Love. So he figuratively and literally puts at the heart of the employment of your spiritual gifts, love. I think that's what the Holy Spirit does. He's like, y'all watch this. And you got this description or prescription of how we're to live together in the body of Christ. He goes, oh wait, by the way, right in the middle of all of that, it's about love. Paul even says, look, you desire earnestly the greater gifts, but I'll show you still a greater way. And then he begins to talk about love. You don't need to know what your tag is. You know, I love, you go to churches and folks wear tags, right? A lot of times, name tags. That's I'm a usher or I'm a whatever. There's all these things. You don't have to have all that. Those are not harmful. Those are not bad. I'm not saying that. But you don't have to have that. You know what you've got to have? Love. You might not even know. I can tell you right now, there are people in this fellowship that don't even know what their spiritual gift is. But it is being employed by the Holy Spirit. And they're doing what the Holy Spirit has gifted them to do. And they don't even know what that's called. I know that for a fact. I've seen it. So it's not about knowing exactly, you know, doing a... And there's nothing wrong with doing spiritual gift inventories and surveys and all of those things. There's nothing wrong with doing those things. Those are a good part of study. But they're not necessary for the body of Christ to employ them in worship. They're not absolutely necessary. I don't have to know that I have the spiritual gift of whatever to do that. You know what? Peter says, he boils them down into two groups anyway, speaking gifts and then service. So I don't have to have a tag or a name to go do what God's called me to do. When I came into ministry as a pastor, when I announced to the world, or whoever would listen, that I believed that God had called me to pastoral ministry. Do you think people were really, really shocked? And you're going to hear this the right way. All right, hear this the right way. Do you think people were really shocked to hear that? No. Matter of fact, one of my friends who was giving the charge in my ordination said, "What a shocker." Everybody saw this coming. You know why? Not because I'm a great guy. That's not what I'm talking about. Because the Holy Spirit was already doing in me and gifting me to do what He had called me to do before I ever had a tag or a name. That's why when it doesn't matter if I have a building to meet in or if I have a shingle out front that says, you know, such and such church. Those things don't matter. I want to shepherd people, not because I'm a great guy, but because that's the Holy Spirit's done in me, right? That's the way it works with all of these people. There's a love in my heart that drives me, compels me to do that. That ain't me. Kelly Pate lives with me. She knows better. She knows the natural me because I'm like everybody else. Naturally, we're all selfish people. We all seek our own. But the Holy Spirit works in us, gives us this supernatural love for each other and a supernatural employment of this gift for your benefit, for your glory. And that's how we worship together. See, first we love God, then we love each other. And that love drives us to employ the spiritual gifts that we have. Let me ask you, do you consider how can I help this body of Christ? How can I help this church? How can I be a part of the worship time together? Maybe it's just I'm just going to be present. Remember in Hebrews, that was a big deal. Forsake not the assembling together of yourselves, as is the habit of some. Some folks don't think it's a big deal if I'm not there. I mean, I'm not. It's not a big deal if I'm not here. I heard a guy talking yesterday, and he was saying, we have redefined what it means to be faithful. So if he said, I want you to think about this. If your car cranked 3 out of 4 days, would you consider that car faithful? If you only had lights in your house every other day, would you consider the power company to be faithful? No, you wouldn't. If I can just not go to church today because I just ain't feeling it, or they don't need me, or it's not that big a deal, would we still consider you faithful? Just saying. We need you. I need you. You need me. We all need each other because that's the way God has purposed it. We are one. We're many members. This is Romans chapter 12. We're many members in one body. If you're not here, something's missing. I'd look pretty funny if I got up here and I didn't have an ear, wouldn't I? Or my nose was gone. Kelly's like, well, that's a big old nose. It'd be pretty noticeable. Just say it. It would be weird for me to get up here missing a body part. Think about our brother. What is his struggle today? He's missing a body part. And it hurts. My brother hurts. Physically is hurting today because something is missing. Do you not recognize it's the body? When we're not here, when you're not actively engaged together as the body of Christ, somebody's hurting. The body is hurting. God has given all of these pieces and parts for His glory. Is this going to build up the church? In 1 Corinthians 14, Paul says, let everything be done for edification. What are we doing? I mean, all the stuff that we're doing, is it building up the church? Paul said in Ephesians chapter 4 that God has equipped the saints, given the church all of these different pieces and parts. Your part for the equipping of the saints for the work of service to the building up of the body of Christ. And until we all attain to the unity of the faith. All of us are elevated. All of us are lifted up. And the first thing I wanted you to see in this section here from Nehemiah was worship is predicated on the Word of God. Secondly, all of the folks who are involved in that, everybody's playing a role. What comes after these things take place? Well, we notice that God gave them great joy and they worshiped. Does God bring you joy today? Is your worship flowing from the joy that you have in the Lord? Theirs did. That day they offered great sacrifices and rejoiced because God had given them great joy. What was their joy? They were back together again in worship. Now, this, I hope, inspires us as the body to look for opportunities where we can build up our brothers and sisters and build up the body of Christ here in this place. This is a rubber meets the road sermon today. I told y'all, it's easy to fill up this room. It really is. I can stand right here. We can get the right people playing the music and singing and all that stuff. And I can stand right here and tell people what they want to hear, and we will fill this room up. That is much different than the building up of the body. Because it's not about a show. It's about each member, each one of us, filling the role. You know that? And when one of us is missing, it hurts the body. When one part's been cut off, it hurts the body. The love of our Lord, the love for His Word, drives our love for each other. When that happens, the body will be built up. You're going to be strengthened. We're going to be built up on the right foundation. And what will naturally flow from that is there will be more people. We'll see that next week, because true worship attracts non-Christians, but might not be the way you think. Father, we thank you for this word, this text, and Lord, I'm woefully, Lord, it's not about me. I know that. I pray for your Spirit to take your word that you have implanted into our hearts that's able to save our souls. Father, take that word and then use it for your glory. God, build this body of Christ. Build us up into Christ. Grow us up into Christ, who is our head. And I pray that in Jesus' name. Amen.